Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva, Midarkei HaTshuva, repentance entails Lios Hashav Tzolek Tomid Lifnei Hashem Bevchir Sachanunim. The penitent constantly cries out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tears, imploring Hashem. Oset Tzedakah Kefi Kocho, he engages in as many acts of tzedakah, of charity, as he's able to. Misrachek harbe min hadava shachotovo, he distances himself as far as possible from that which occasioned his sin. Umeshana shmo, and he changes his name. Kloma ani acher, ve'eni oso ha'ish, sha'osa oson ha'masim. I'm not the same person who sinned. The one who sinned and who I am presently are two different people. The Rambam clearly tells us, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that the mitzvah of tshuva is not simply to make adjustments, not simply to feel a profound regret for a specific action or series of actions, and to feel a sincere sense of resolve to correct, to redress. But tshuva has to involve a transformation of the personality. A person has to change. Eini oso ha'ish, I'm not the same person. The Rambam is clearly here being prompted by the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Tazayin and Medvei says that Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Dalet Dvorim Mekarin Gzadino Shel Odom. There are four things which can rip up an edict, a heavenly decree, which has been issued against the person. And those four things, which can be mekareg, zadino shel odom, after the unasana tokef, and I think it's at that point, we sort of partially paraphrase this gemara. Those four things are tzedakah, giving charity, tzedakah, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shinei Hashem, and shinei Maisa. Changing one's name and changing one's actions. That's the Gemara, which is the source for the Rambam. The Ritva, my father, Zechon Levacha, used to margala b'fume, he would often quote the Ritva in that Gemara. The Ritva articulates the very same idea. He associates it not only with the Shinei Hashem, not only that one of the four things which is able to be Mikareya Gzadino Shel Odom, which is able to, again, cause even an evil decree in Shamayim, which has been issued, that edict should be ripped up, should be erased. So the last of the two are Shinei Hashem and Shinei Maisa, that one changes one's name and one changes one's actions. Says the Ritva, the real pshat in Shinei Maisa is not if I was eating treif that I stop eating treif. It's not if I was Rachman al Etzlan being Mechal al Shabbos or talking Lashon Hara that I stop being Mechal al Shabbos. I stop speaking Lashon Hara. That's self-understood. We don't need Rabbi Yitzchak to tell us. The Ritva says, what Shinei Maisa means, Afilu Maisim Shel Rishus, even things which are not intrinsically Averas, She'enam Hagunim Ktsas, which are slightly inappropriate, Hu Mishana, even these actions a person changes, thereby implying Klomar, what statement is a person making by changing even those Maisim Shel Rishus, Shehu Odom Acher Legamrei, I'm an entirely different person. So the whole person and the whole personality is transformed. That's what the mitzvah of tshuva is. Now, if you step back for a moment and think about it, when a person knows that he has a chiyuv to do tshuva, and with a sense of obligation, a person sets out to do tshuva, so a person can fine-tune, a person can make certain adjustments. But if one is acting only out of a sense of obligation, it's impossible to transform oneself. It's impossible to undergo and experience that complete, radical transformation which the Rambam, the Ritva, in expounding that Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, are telling us about. In order to in order to experience that tshuva, in order to experience a tshuva that transforms the person, it's not enough to know that I'm obligated in tshuva and that I'm acting out of a sense of obligation. A person has to feel, not simply know, he has to feel a need to do tshuva. Not just know that I have an obligation to do tshuva, I have to feel a need to do tshuva. I have to feel a sense of urgency to do tshuva. It's only in response to that feeling that one can hope to live up to the challenge which the Rambam, which the Ritva set us, that as a result of one's tshuva, that we should be able to stand before the Kiseh HaKavod and say, Ribono Shel Olam, Eini Oso Ha'ish. That list of actions that you have, V'chol Ma'aseinu B'Seifa Nechtovim, that list of actions that are inscribed above in Shamayim, in the Sefer, that wasn't me. I'm not the one who's responsible for that, because I'm a changed person. It's not enough to feel a sense, to know that there's a sense of obligation. One has to feel a sense of urgency. One has to feel a need. One has to feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to undertake and in order to be able to experience such a tshuva. A little bit al derech hadrush homiletically, you know, one is tempted to suggest that Minchas Chinuch has his famous view that according to the Rambam, tshuva itself is not a mitzvah. Vidui, the recitation of the confession and the resolve for the future, that's a mitzvah. But tshuva itself is not a mitzvah. How can it be? So homiletically, one is inclined to suggest that maybe if one would accept the Minchas Chinuch's approach, that this is the explanation. It can't be, because you can't do tshuva simply in response to an obligation. I know that I'm chayiv to take a lulav, I can take the lulav, I can take the lulav. If I know I'm chayiv to do tshuva, that doesn't give me enough of an impetus to totally change myself. You can't change yourself because you know you're obligated to change yourself. You can only change yourself when you feel that need. When you feel that need, when an alcoholic, Rachmana Litzlan, so even when he's not in complete denial, he knows he needs to change, but he doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel that he can't change him, can't change himself. When he hits rock bottom, when he loses his job, when he's bankrupt, when his marriage is crumbling, then he feels the need, so then he can change himself. A person has to feel the sense of urgency. But all of that then leaves us with a question. So what do we do? Here it is, 3-4 days before Rosh Hashanah. A few minutes before Slichus. We'll hear the Nusach, the Nigin of Yomim Nevoim, for the first time this season. So what do? I don't feel the Hisarivus. I know there's a mitzvah's tshuva. I know when the Sefer HaChinuch says that the deadline for the mitzvah's tshuva, one is guilty of being mevatel, of having neglected that mitzvah, if by Yom HaKippurim one isn't aroused to do tshuva. I know it. So I know there's 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight is going to be after, after Ne'ilah. But I don't feel it. So how does a person awaken himself that he should feel that urgent need to do tshuva, which will allow him again, not just to fine-tune, not just to adjust, not just to change an action, not just to change a single discrete attitude, but to change himself entirely. So the Torah gives us certain aids, certain props. The Torah helps us. First of all, certainly mitzvah shofar has a special skula in it, has a special quality, a special unique power embedded within the shofar. To arouse a person, to awaken a person, to instill within a person the sense of ema, of awe and dread of the Yomim Noroim. Rav Sadia Gaon, giving the 10 reasons for mitzvah shofar, so one of the reasons he gives, he quotes the pasuk in Yiska shofar v'ir Is it conceivable, is it imaginable that the shofar will be sounded throughout the city and the people won't tremble? Shofar has that skula, the famous description of the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva, the remez, the hint, the allusion within mitzvah shofar, that it's the wake-up call. Those who are awake, those who are sleeping, awaken from your sleep, from your slumber. So the Torah gives us mitzvah shofar, and again, there is a special skula. We try to prepare ourselves for that skula with saying the Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor. The Bnei Korach said this capital Tehillim when they were Al Pischo Shel Gehenim, because originally they had been associated with the rebellion of Korach and his entourage, Korach Vadoso. And Al Pischo Shel Gehenim, so the Bnei Korach did tshuva. That capital is supposed to prepare us for that special skula which shofar has. One of my most powerful experiences, Rosh Hashanah, every year, the minig in Chernobyl and beyond that as well, is that the seventh time, so the Rebbe says Lam Natzeach aloud. Many years later, I heard that they used to say that in Chernobyl, so instead of having a Musa Shmuz before Tkiyah Shofar, the Musa Shmuz was hearing the Lam Natzeach said aloud. So when my father, Zichron Levachi, used to say the Lam Natzeach, every year, without fail, literally, I used to tremble. Literally. It wasn't that he was saying it in such an overpowering voice. No, he didn't have it. He said it with a traditional Nusach, and every year, in anticipation of the Tkiyah Shofar, listening to the Ola Elokim Bisrua Hashem B'Kol Shofar, Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech over the whole world. You hear, you say the Psukim, you listen to the Psukim said, HaYizkah Shofar Ba'ir V'Om Lo Yecheradu. Tshuva, Tkiyah Shofar, is given to us, because it has this special skula to awaken to tshuva. Another thing which HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us to awaken us, that we should not only know that there's a mitzvah tshuva, but we should feel experientially the need to do tshuva. We read about in this morning's Kriya Satorah, V'hoyochi yavoo alecha kol advar ma'ela habrocha v'haklola. When a person, rachmana litzlan, again, either personally or through identifying with the tzaros, with the suffering of the klal, of the Jewish people as a whole, when a person experiences not only the bracha v'haklola, v'hoyach yigavoh alecha godvah ma'ila ha'bracha v'haklola, and then v'hashevosa el levavecha b'chol ha'goyim asher hidichacha Hashem alokecha shama. A person should take to heart, why is all this happening throughout wherever the Jewish people have been dispersed? And what's the reaction, what's the response when a person, again, either personally or collectively, thinking about all the terrible, terrible, indescribable tzaras in Eretz Yisrael? So that is supposed to arouse a person not only to know that there's a mitzvah tshuva, but to feel the need and the urgency to do tshuva. Says the Torah, what's the response to v'hoyachi yavoo alecha? The response to v'hoyachi yavoo alecha is v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha. You'll do tshuva and you'll come back, you'll return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, any aid or prop or prompt which the Torah gives us depends upon our receptivity and our sensitivity. And perhaps the most powerful impetus and catalyst to tshuva, to changing oneself, to a total, total overhaul and transformation of one's personality, is when one encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu. let's first just remind ourselves of the description of Nevuah, the ultimate encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shmuel tells Shaul, V'tzolcha eilecha ruach Hashem, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pass over you, v'hisna beisa imam, you will join the rank of prophets and you too will prophesy, v'nehepachta li'ishacher, and you'll become a changed person. You'll change into a different person. That experience of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of encountering Kedusha, so that will change you. V'nehepachta li'ish acher, the goal of tshuva, that's what the Navi achieves as a result of his encounter with the Ribono Shel Olam. Similarly, when Eliyahu comes, and the Navi describes the meeting between Eliyahu and Elisha. So in Sefer Melachim, the Navi describes Vayelech Misham, that Eliyahu and Navi went, Vayimtzos Elisha ben Shofat. He encountered Elisha ben Shofat. What was Elisha doing? V'hu Choresh. He was a farmer. He was plowing. Shneim Osat Smodim Lefanav. There were 12 pairs of oxen in front of him. V'hu B'shneim HaOsah. And Elisha was standing all the way in the back with the 12th pair of oxen. Vayava Eliyahu Elov, Eliyahu passed to Elisha, Vayashlech Adarto Elov, and he threw his cloak, his mantle, onto Elisha. What was the significance of the Aderis of Eliyahu Novi's mantle, of his cloak? So the Malbim explains that in this cloak, it embodied, as it were, it was almost tangible, the ruchnius shekoren olav me'es hayoso b'ma'ora, that intense degree of spirituality which radiated from Eliyahu HaNavi from the time he had been hiding in the cave. So that was almost tangibly associated with his aderis, with his cloak, analogous to Kimas Vashel Pnei Moshe, the mask which Moshe Rabbeinu had. And as a result, what happens when Elisha encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, the Kedusha being channeled, being funneled through the Aderis of Eliyahu, so what happens all of a sudden, Elisha, until this time a farmer, Vayazov Es Haboko, so right away he abandons the oxen, Vayoretz Achere Eliyahu, and he runs after Eliyahu, Vayoma Eshko Nolo Ovi Leimi, I'll kiss my parents, Ve'elcha Acharecha, I'm not the same person. Right now, my life is going to be devoted. I'm going to serve you, and I too will become a Navi. Eliyahu HaNavi tests him. Eliyahu HaNavi wants to see if it's really sincere. So Eliyahu HaNavi tries to push him aside. Vayomel Olech Shuv. No, go back. Go back to your farm work. Kimeo Sisilach. What did I do? I dropped my cloak. But Elisha won't be deterred. Vayoshev Me'acharov. Here too we see again that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elisha is totally transformed through that encounter. But that's an encounter of Nevuah. And on the contrary, what we're talking about is when we're immersed in chait, in sin. So how can we look for an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the catalyst for that tshuva which transforms? So the answer is, it's a posuk in Parshas Achrimos, part of the Kriyas HaTorah, Yom HaKippurim in the morning, and it's a major, major principle of tshuva, of Torah. The Torah has the phrase, HaShochein Itom B'soch Tumosam. Rashi comments on the posuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is with us, even when we have defiled ourselves with sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, His presence is with us, and we experience it. Of course, we experience it in a different way than when we experience it mitoch tahara, from purity and from kedusha and from holiness. But hashochein itam besoch tum osam, that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there after chet as well. What happens when Adam Harishon When Adam HaRishon sins and he eats from the Eitz Hadas, so the Torah tells us that Adam and Chava at that point, after eating from the Eitz Hadas, so then they encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayishmu'u es kol Hashem Elokim mishalech bagon l'ruach hayom. Adam and Chava, who a minute ago, a moment ago, had been so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to disregard the only mitzvah which they were given. And they couldn't overcome the temptation and they succumbed. The only aveira that was possible for them. And they succumbed. So when they hear the call Hashem Elokim, so what's their result? Right away, Vayischave Odom v'ishto, they hide. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, where are you, Odom? Vayom lo ayeko. Odom HaRishon answers, Vayom es kolcho shamati bagon. I heard the sound of your voice, Kavayochol, being projected throughout the Gan in Eden v'ira. And I was afraid. I feared that I'm bereft of the one mitzvah you had given me. Adam HaRishon encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch chet. The Rav comments on this pattern from time immemorial. Whenever the identity of the individual and community was shattered, man encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he refers to Adam HaRishon after his fall, Moshe Rabbeinu after the Egel HaZahav. Religious experience is born in crisis. So HaShochen Itam, and again, this is the Yisod of HaShochen Itam, V'soch Tumosam, that we can and we do experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not even in Tumah, but it's part of the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps part of what's intended when we talk about the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachimim of Hashem Hashem, that one shame means that Hashem is with us, He's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kodem Achet. And the second shame of Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanun is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Melech Rachamim with us after the Chet also, is that not only even B'soch Tumasim, not only even in the midst of our Tumah, of our defilement, do we find Hashem, but especially there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches out to us. And that act of reaching out to us, that can serve as the catalyst for that transformation. When one encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if one takes advantage of that, if one experiences it, if one absorbs it, so then the result is V'nehepachta li'ishacher, exactly what the mitzvah of tshuva demands from us. But is it really correct? Is it really appropriate to equate the experience of the Navi, that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the experience of Tshuva, the encounter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which a Chote has? So listen to a remarkable, remarkable observation, again, which my father, Zichrono Levracha, made. Remember, we read just a few moments ago the beautiful passage from the Rambam, where he talks about the remez of Tkiyas Shofar. What's the remez of Tkiyas Shofar? Klomar, Uru yishenem mishenaschem, v'nirdomim harkitzu mitardamaschem. You who are asleep, awaken. And those of you who are slumbering, arouse yourselves. Chipsu b'maseichem, scrutinize your actions. V'chizru b'tshuva, and do tshuva v'zichru barachem. And remember your Creator. Now let's pay special attention to the next few words. Elu hashochem es ha'emes. Who is the kol shofar addressed to? It's addressed to us. Who hashochem es ha'emes, who forget truth v'havle hazman, because of the futilities, because of transient, ephemeral futilities. V'shogim kol shnosam, and they waste their time, their years, their days with futility, with emptiness, vapid, which can't help. Look at your souls. Okay, so
So the Baal Tshuva is someone who has to recognize that he's been entrapped by Havlei Hazman. That's who the Baal Tshuva is. Now, listen to the Rambam's formula for how a person merits Nevuah, how a person prepares himself for Nevuah. So the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin of Yesodei HaTorah, it's one of the foundational beliefs of Torah to know that there is prophecy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants prophecy to people, and then the Rambam describes how a person merits Nevuah. So this person who merits Nevuah is Miskadesh Vaholech. He sanctifies himself, and there's a constant process of ascension as he sanctifies himself. Uporish Midarchei Klal Ha'am. He separates himself from the ways of most people. Haholchem B'machashakei Hazman. Again, the same emphasis on the ephemeral and the transient, right? Haholchem b'machashakei hazman. And he separates himself from that. But the parallelism in the Lashon becomes even more striking. Umelameid nafsho, he trains his soul, he trains himself. Shalotiyalo machshova klal ve'echad mitvarim b'telim. His mind is never preoccupied. He never gives a thought to idle matters. V'lo mehav lehazman v'sachbulosav. He's not concerned. He doesn't give a thought to transient, ephemeral, petty nonsense. He doesn't give a thought to that. Eladaito penuya tomid. But rather his mind is always open, and he's always concentrating on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the challenge of the Baal Tshuva? He has to recognize that he's been ensnared, he's been entrapped by Havlei Hazman, and he has to overcome that. He has to transcend that. How does the Novi prepare himself for his encounter, for the ultimate encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's the same thing. He has to have freed himself from the Havlei Hazman, the Sachbulosav. And the result, again, obviously in different degrees, in different magnitude, obviously, but the result is the same. V'nehepachta l'ish acher. The Novi encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one way, but HaShochein Itam B'soch Tumosam, the secret, again, of HaShochein Itam B'soch Tumosam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides with us, amongst us, even B'soch Tumosam, that Adam HaRishon, again, he has a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's most distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As soon as Klal Yisrael sin, so right away Moshe Rabbeinu has a nevuah, albeit leich reit kishichei samcha, but it's a nevuah, it's an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Precisely because we are Chotim, Hashem, Hashem, Kelrachum v'Chanun, Hashem again signifying, representing Midas HaRachim and the attribute of mercy, of compassion, is not only Hashem lifnei achet, not only before a person sins, but la'acha achet as well. And it's the Hashem la'acha achet, Hashochein Itom b'soch tumosim, who resides with us even when we sin. We can encounter Him, and that encounter, if only we'll avail ourselves of it, if only we'll allow ourselves to experience that, so then that changes a person. It reorders his priorities. It reorders everything in life. What's important and what's not important. What a person should devote his time to, what a person should devote his energies to. Now, this life-changing encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is facilitated in two ways. That life-changing encounter, which we, prospective, aspiring Baalei Tshuva, long for, which we need so desperately, is facilitated in two ways. First of all, what the Rambam writes in the Maor Nevuchim, the Ramah quotes at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, the very first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, is by fulfilling the mandate of David HaMelech, Shivisi Hashem v'negdi somed. A person encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, but a person has to be focused on it, a person has to be thinking about it, a person has to be looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to experience it, in order to encounter Him.
A person has to be a mevakesh. A person has to be searching, seeking. And the searching and the seeking is by being constantly mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi somid. But the Torah goes further than that. The Hashem Hashem, Midas HaRachamim L'acha Achei, goes further than that. We're given even more help, even more assistance in experiencing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Shochein Itam B'soch Tumosam. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, a Gemara with which we're all familiar, Dirshu Hashem Bihimotzo, seek Hashem when He is to be found, when Hashem is close. So, Eilu Aseres Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah L'Yom HaKippurim. Hashem is Bihimotzo in this period of the year from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Bihimotzo, meaning that it's easier. It's easier to experience, to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these 10 days from Rosh Hashanah, culminating with Yom HaKippurim, the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, than in any other day of the year. And within the 10 days, so the Kedushas HaYom of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, again, allows us, makes that encounter and makes that experience all the more accessible to us. The famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Omer Rabbi Akiva, why do we have a mitzvah of saying the psukim, the verses of Malchiel, Zechonos, and Shofos, talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence over the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omniscience and judging the world? Why do we have a mitzvah to say psukim of Malchios, Vayihi Vishuren Melech, Hashem Yimloch La'olam Vod? Why do we have that mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah? Says Rabbi Akiva, Imu Lefonai Malchios, Kedei Shetamlichuni Aleichem. But there's something, there's the Omek HaPshat here, is something very profound which we can easily miss. It sort of sounds somewhat circular. Say Malchios so you will have coronated me. Coronate me so you will have coronated me. When one looks in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah in context, so this is part of a whole series of statements which Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Akiva says that since on Rosh Hashanah, excuse me, since on Pesach we're judged about Tvua, so therefore we have the mitzvah of bringing the Minchas HaOmer. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring the Omer on Pesach, and in that Zechus, Tisparech lachem hatvua. There will be a blessing on the crop of grain. You do one thing to yield a different result. The thing you're doing, the medium, is to bring the korban haomer, the flour offering on the second day of Pesach, and the desired result which we're trying to achieve is that there should be blessing on the grain. Similarly, Haviyu, you bring the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos. Why? Because on Shavuos is the day of judgment for Peros HaIlon. So in the Zechus, in the merit of bringing the Shtei HaLechem, so then we'll have Bracha for the Peros HaIlon, for the fruits of the tree. So in each case, what Rabbi Akiva is commenting on, you have one mitzvah, which is intended to yield, which is a certain result, and yet when it comes to, why does that HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that on Rosh Hashanah, it seems to be just repetitious. Say Malchios, you'll have been mamlich me. So the answer is no, that the real pshat in what Rabbi Akiva is saying is Imulafanai Malchios. Say the psukim, Kadesha Tamlichuni Alechem, so you'll experience the Malchios. Say the psukim. Try to muster as much kavon as you can for Hashem Yimloch Lolam Voyed, for Vayihi Vishun Melech, Usruas Melech Bo, Shema Yisrael, try to muster as much kavona as you can and say those psukim. Why? Kedei shetam lichuni aleichem, that you'll experience the Malchios. On Rosh Hashanah again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close to us, Dishu Hashem b'imotzo, but especially on Rosh Hashanah, Kedei shetam lichuni aleichem, that we can experience that Malchios. A person experiences that Malchios, he feels that Malchios, he feels Malchus Shamayim. So again, that's the impetus, that's the catalyst for now, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when one encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but one doesn't feel prepared. So Chazal, again, let's draw on that analogy again between tshuva and nevuah. What happens in Parshas Bahalosu when Aaron and Miriam are not prepared for their encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Chazal reconstruct, they describe, Rashi quotes it, that they were crying, Haviu Mayim, Haviu Mayim, we have to go to the mikveh, we're not ready. They feel this urgent need, because when one encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one is defiled, one is in a state of tumah, so then one feels that urgent need to cleanse, an urgent need for catharsis, to purify oneself. And on Rosh Hashanah, if not beforehand, then on Rosh Hashanah, Imu Lefonai Malchios Kedeshetam Lichuni Alechem, a person can experience that Malchios. And then when a person encounters HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaShochein Itam B'soch Tumosam, so then a person feels that urgent need to change. It's no longer a question of just knowing intellectually, I have a mitzvah to do tshuva, but one feels an urgent need to do tshuva, to transform himself. If a person is zochet to reach this stage of having this hisorus, this awakening, this arousal to do tshuva, not just to fine tune, not just to make adjustments, but to transform. So, what are some of the things that we should think about? So, obviously, we could talk about this for hours and hours on end, but let's try to mention just a few salient points. First of all, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What does Anochi Hashem Elokecha mean? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Shem Yudke Vovke, the Shoresh, the root in Lashon HaKodesh, from which the name of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Yudke Vovke, is formed, the Shoresh Havaya means existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Hashem, I am existence. I am the source of existence. And what's more, I exclusively exist. And addressing himself to each and every one of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and you exist only because of me. You're beholden to me. And you exist only because I allow you to partake of my existence. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Homiletically, the same idea can be understood that a person's anochi, a person's sense of self, his personal identity, what should one's anochi be? What should one's anochi be? That Hashem is Elokecha. Hashem is Elokecha. And the Pasuk Shema Yisrael identifies who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Esrei Beis, has a remarkable, remarkable equation. The Rambam says that this mitzvah of knowing that Hashem, again, who exists absolutely, and everything else that exists is dependent upon Him, for their existence and exist only because of Him and through Him. So the Rambam says we should know that Hashem is Echad, right? All this seems to be profound, fundamental theological beliefs. Then the Rambam says, but this mitzvah is also known as Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. No, Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, that's not a theological principle. That's talking about religious commitment. Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, that's not a question of theological, philosophical beliefs. That's a question of religious commitment. The Rambam says, Hainu Hach, there can't be any discrepancy between the two. If a person recognizes that one is entirely beholden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of existence, source of Kedusha, source of good, source of everything, so then one's commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be absolute. And hence there's an equation between the belief of Anochi and Shema Yisrael and the practical religious commitment. The question which we have to ask ourselves, it's not an easy question. It's a very, very painful question. And it's a question which leaves us feeling vulnerable and feeling exposed. But if we can't ask the question a few minutes before Slicha, so then when can we ask the question? is our, does our belief of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, does our belief of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, does that translate into the absolute religious commitment to the word of Hashem, to the will of Hashem, as communicated to us in His Torah? Or do we have certain lines? There are certain things, there are certain intrusions in my life which I'll allow Torah, I'll tolerate. But there are certain lines, right? In every relationship, we all draw lines. There's only so much we'll allow our boss to tell us we have to do. And then at a certain point, ad kan v'lo yoseh, we draw a line. And in every relationship it's like that. We draw lines. But there's one relationship in which there can't be any lines. And that's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, absolutely exist. Am the source of everything, everything. Again, Kedusha, everything that we aspire for. And if that's the case, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, as He does, exists absolutely, that has to translate into an absolute commitment. There can't be any lines of Ad Kan. And yet there are some very, very sensitive areas in our lives where we draw lines. Where we draw lines. Are we willing to hear from others or even from ourselves? Are we willing to hear that the Torah has guidelines for dress, right? And especially the incongruence between the styles of the Western world and the Torah's conception of tznius and modesty? Are we willing to hear, is our commitment absolute? Are we willing to hear that the Torah has guidelines, again, specifically because the incongruence is greater here between how modern fashion suggests women should dress and how the Torah suggests women should dress, where the neckline should be, what the length of the sleeves should be, what the length of the skirt, or is that intruding too much on my personal life? But there can't be any lines drawn in our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the willingness to hear that is not only in the part of women. The willingness to hear that has to be in the part of men. Husbands are also responsible. It's not that the onus of compliance is solely on the women. No, that's something which husbands have to hear as well. Are we willing to hear that? Or is that something which, that test, is our commitment absolute? Or is the commitment there, but it's not absolute because that's too personal? You're invading my private turf too much. You can't tell me that. Is that our response? Now, if we seek to take advantage of the possibility of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that possibility is greatest during Aseres Yimei Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, but the possibility exists all year long also. And let's highlight two oases of Kedusha, which can, if only we take advantage of them the way they're intended to be taken advantage of, which can help us encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu all year long also. One oasis is a temporal one, the other is a spatial one. The temporal one is Shabbos, the spatial one is our Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos, our Shulin and Batei Medrash. The Torah says that Shabbos is a day of rest. Do we take advantage of Shabbos as a day of rest? Or, somehow or other, have we converted it from a day of rest into a day of vacation? How do we know? So sometimes there are little, right? Any doctor, whether in physical health or mental health, knows that sometimes there are clues which in and of themselves don't seem so significant, But if a person can recognize what the underlying cause is, or in our analog, what the underlying conception is, so one realizes that they're not insignificant at all. One of the things which one observes on Shabbos is that there's a tendency to dress very casually. A tendency, it becomes most pronounced Shabbos to Mincha, but it's not even limited to Shabbos to Mincha. There's a tendency that to come to shul maybe only with a sweater, or maybe only in shirt sleeves, even though what the standard should be in Eretz Yisrael is not our focus now, it needn't be our focus, we live here, even though clearly, no one considers that formal dress in the United States. For an important meeting in the office, so one wouldn't come without jacket and tie. And yet, how is it that we come to shul casual, sweater, open collar? How is it? The answer is that we've confused the Torah's concept of a day of rest with the Western concept of the weekend and day of vacation. The Torah's concept of a day of rest means that it's a day, remember that the Rav Zichron Levracha, the way he formulated it is, it's a day when we're given respite from the klala, from the curse to Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was told, after his chait, after his sin, b'zeyas ha'pecha tochal lechem, that his whole life he was going to, by the sweat of his brow, would he eke out his parnasa. He was going to have to work very hard, and such involvement with the mundane. That was the klala. Shabbos, the Rav explained, that's the respite from the klala. So it's a day of rest, it's a day of respite from that klala, from that involvement, from that struggle for parnasa, from that struggle for livelihood, from having all these mundane concerns hoist upon us. It's a day of rest. A day of rest for what? For the Yerushalmi says, to learn Torah, to recharge our batteries, to immerse ourselves in Ruchnias. That's a day of rest, but it's not a day of vacation. It's a day of rest. It's a special day. It's a holy day. It's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. And it's a day where one shows one's appreciation of the day by one's special dress, and one tries to take advantage of this oasis, of this temporal oasis of Kedusha, by learning as much and by being involved as much as possible with Limud HaTorah to an extent which is usually not possible all week long. That's one oasis of Kedusha that we have to help us in our search to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu all year long also. The spatial oasis that we have, our shulin and batei medrash, our batei knesiyas and batei medrashos. Batei knesiyas and batei medrashos, you know, in the mishaberach that we say after the Yikum Porkons, before Musaf on Shabbos, we speak of mishem yachad in batei knesiyas l'sfila. So the people like to quip that what it means is mishem yachdim batei knesiyos l'sfila, that they set aside batei knesiyos v'tfila, meaning that all they do in a shul is they daven. They don't talk in a shul, and they don't, and they don't think about all other things, but they miyache them l'tfila. A shul is a place. Ultimately, what does it mean that a person should be Oved Hashem? Ultimately, what does it mean when the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Haskin Atzmocha B'Posed L'Kedeshe Tikones L'Traklin, that our life in Olam Hazah is a preparation for life in Olam Haba? What it means is that a person is supposed to work on his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person should be comfortable one-on-one with the Ribono Shel Olam. One-on-one with the Ribono Shel Olam. When we come to shul, and instead of focusing on davening, single-mindedly, for the 45 minutes it takes during the week, for the 2 hours that it takes on Shabbos morning. Instead of focusing and being with Hashem one-on-one, that's part of the rationale of Mechitza, of being with Hashem one-on-one, away from some of the family bonds and away from distractions, but being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu one-on-one, so then we prepare ourselves for that, for what our ultimate goal and ultimate destiny is. But when we come to Shul and we talk with our neighbors, so then here the Torah gives us this golden opportunity of a Beis Knesses, of Tefillah, to come close to Hashem, to be comfortable with Hashem, to prepare ourselves for our ultimate destiny, which is to have a rendezvous with the Ribono Shel Olam, and we squander it, because we're busy talking, and it's mind-boggling. One sees in Shul, it's absolutely mind-boggling. You see father and son sitting next to each other, people who can, and probably do, and it's wonderful, sit and talk over the dinner table, so... Why is it necessary to sit and talk in shul also? It's wonderful. There's nothing more heartwarming than to see father and son talking together. It doesn't have to be in shul. Talk together during the Friday night Suda. When you come to the meal, when you come to davening Shabbos morning, there's no need for father and son or neighbors to be sitting and talking. That's the time to work on one's relationship one-on-one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, maybe one last area that we can try to work on in trying to have this encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in trying to constantly feel closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, so another part of the arsenal with which we've been equipped is brachos. Saying brachos is a constant reminder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is constantly pushing us to that encounter, sensitizing us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, that we should encounter Him and that we should be able to benefit from that transformative effect that it has on us. But there's just one catch. We have to stop and think about the bracha we're saying. When we mumble, the bracha, so then it doesn't achieve its purpose. A person stops and thinks, just says it slowly, stops and thinks, and he's mechavin the kavonos for Hashem, and he's mechavin the kavonos for Elokeinu. So then a person 100 times a day has this, he's constantly barraged with this reminder, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right near you, look, and you'll be able to feel His presence, you'll be able to experience His presence, you'll be able, even if right now you're sullied by chait, that the halacha tells us, HaShochin Itam v'soch tumosam. We need to take these reminders, take advantage of these reminders. Halavai, the Ribono Shel Olam should let us respond to the cue and the prompting of Mitzvah Shofar. He should let us respond to the tzoros which have been inflicted on Klal Yisrael these past years in Eretz Yisrael. And most of all, HaShochin Itam v'soch tumosam, each of us individually and all of us collectively, again, should hear the Kol Hashem Elokim, which comes dafka la'acha hachet, when a person is most distant, to help him encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, and to help us feel that urgent need of Havi'u Mayim, figuratively, mikveh, and that zechus, we should be able to do a tshuva shleima, and we should all be zocheh for a ksiva v'chasimah.